All right, call to order here. The October 27th Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Is the recorder on?
It is.
Yes, it is. All right, thank you. May you please rise, face the flag,
and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please, Mrs. Stecker.
Mr. Alger?
Yes, here.
Mr. Stecker?
Here.
Mr. Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Solanco?
Here.
Mr. Henry?
Here. Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome for joining us. We'll start with public participation. I'd like to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. We have a clock running for you so you can see the time. If your comments have substantially been reflected in others, we would ask, in the interest of time, that you please forego making them, that you provide the board with any copies of written material that you may have. Personal complaints and criticisms about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Also, profanity, interruption, and other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate district coordinating staff for response if a response is warranted. Is there anyone present that would like to address the board?
Jennifer Brown.
Hi.
Good
evening. My concerns are twofold.
I don't think we have a warm-up. We'll go old-fashioned here.
All right. This week I felt the effects first of not having a second public participation. If you recall, and I know it was 2 weeks ago, so maybe not, Dr. Gordon addressed my questions about professional development last year for our teachers. In Teaching for Guidance, can be found at the 10:17 mark on the audio from October 14th. At the time, I was very confused about the information that you were citing. For example, on 10:14, Dr. Gordon had said fifth grade STEAM teachers missed 4 days or 3% of school due to professional development. However, when I FOIA'd the records over the summer, my son's level 3 STEAM teacher, who we love, missed 14.4 days of school last year for professional development. I didn't ask her these are personal stuff. That's not my business. Dr. Gordon also stated that level 2 STEAM teachers were pulled for 3.5 days, but my daughter's level 2 STEAM teacher was pulled for 14 days, and this works out to be about 8% of school days, because 174 school days and 14 days of absences. So I was very confused about the 1% of the time for professional development, because even factoring in the literacy, my daughter's literacy teacher was pulled for 4 days, although 2 days were cited. I'm not sure how the 1% was arrived at. I understand the importance of professional development, and I'm a big proponent of it. And I agree that D41's teachers are, as they discussed that. However, student contact time is very important too. The district paid exactly $97,272.59 more in 2013 in sub expenses after the tank was passed. This shows kind of a lack of planning. I feel like the point is we were playing catch up then to get our teachers ready for what the tank entailed. I would have loved to address these kind of conflicting facts and numbers at the second public participation last week. Instead, I hear the Board of Education telling me either to wait 2 weeks to address it tonight or come to a town hall type meeting in December where only two board members can be present. How does that address the issue efficiently, if at all?
Thank you. Anybody else?
Excuse me, very short comment tonight. I just wanted to say that before we go ahead and finalize anything here with phase two, I think we need to vet out with the remaining buildings that have not been worked on yet, what the cost would be and everything entailed with possibly adding on the second story. If we were to go ahead and finish phase two, and then decide that they wanted to be on it before they hit it.
Sorry, that's not you. That's an accident. You get an extra 10 seconds.
So if we decided to go ahead and finish phase two and do the additions and get rid of portables and all that, and then later on, a year from now, decide, well, we got this full day kindergarten, but the only thing we can do now is just build another building because we didn't really think about it as deeply as we could, going ahead and add the second story to the buildings that we still have available to us. I think that would be a big mistake if we did that. So I say, take your time, let's go ahead, even if it takes an extra year to finish off, if that's what it is. Let's go ahead and take our time and decide that the final product will take care of both getting rid of portables and any additional programs like full day kindergarten.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Questions?
Anybody else that would like to comment?
Stephanie Clark. Hi. First, I just had a couple of facilities questions. First, I wanted to check and see if I heard correctly at the facilities meeting a few weeks ago that Churchill and Hadley would be the only schools up with portables after phase one. I may not have heard that correctly. If it's true, I'm just wondering what happened to the portables at Lincoln that were supposed to remain for Team Labs abandoned in storage, and if they've been removed, I'm just curious as to why. Second, about facilities, I learned today from Dr. Gordon at the TCA Council meeting that he's going to give a facilities update on November 10th, and this plan is also going to be shared with the public at the Council meeting on December 3rd. I guess my question to the DOE is, I'd like to know how Dr. Gordon is able to really move forward with the facilities plan when I haven't really heard you as a group giving him definitive direction. Back in May, we were considering full day kindergarten, but then it was called the What Not an Evening, needed more info. Spalding and Spring and Avenue were considered our best options and were our targets for an elementary school for phase two. Then in August, in closed session, the discussion kind of shifted. We started talking about middle school again, possibly at Newton Park and Ackerman. That obviously changed when the Park District pulled their interest in that, but I haven't heard any open discussions since then, and there clearly was some shift in what we wanted and what direction we were going in. And then at the last facilities meeting, really the only thing that was discussed was full day kindergarten and needing more information to move forward. So how can we have a facilities plan in less than 2 weeks if I really don't have any idea what the DOE supports or recommends? I'm wondering what happened to gathering community info before moving forward with phase two. And I think the kindergarten survey was a good start, but I think some more information might be needed. Also, a few thoughts on public participation since it's going to be discussed tonight. It was mentioned by Mrs. Rath that the town hall meetings are going to be occurring. And I found out that two DOE members can only attend those, otherwise it would be considered a quorum. So if a community member attends the November 10th board meeting and has comments about the facilities presentation, do you want to encourage them to come to the town hall meeting to comment when only two of you are going to be there? Or are you going to ask them to come to a subsequent DOE meeting so they can comment then? It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't seem like they replace the comment in board meetings when you are all here. And lastly, today at the PTA Council meeting, we were discussing handling issues with the public. And someone mentioned that people forget that we're volunteers on the PTA and we're doing a job that no one else volunteered to do. And I recognize and I appreciate that of the board. We do the same thing. And myself and others who actually speak at these meetings volunteered to serve on the board with you, and we were not chosen. So my only choice is to come here and comment on record at the DOE meetings and to try to stifle the voice of those of us who try to become more involved is wrong, and it's only right to let the public continue to be able to comment after discussion items as well. This is the beginning of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Erin Zeter.
Hi. I first just wanted to say thank you for listening to the comments of all of those that speak tonight. I know many of us that choose to come to these meetings and speak do so with the hope that you will hear our concerns and really proceed thoughtfully, because the decisions you make directly impact our children. I'm here tonight because after hearing Dr. Gordon's state of the district, I remain alarmed that you are continuing to move forward with the plan to multi-age STEAM and 2-3 literacy for next year. Based on the survey results and many teacher and parent concerns, I feel that it's incomprehensible that you still believe that all of that data should be tossed aside in order to stick with your plan. The survey showed that only 19% of teachers are in favor of extending multi-age degrees to three, and several disagree that children respond well in multi-age, and they disagree that multi-age instruction is effective for student learning. Although applied math may not be linear, the instruction of the fundamentals of math inherently is linear. Math instruction builds, and I just don't know that it's appropriate to teach multiplication and division before addition and subtraction are mastered. I'm just curious how you intend to teach multi-age STEAM in classrooms. I'm not sure that the module type instruction that is being used in literacy would be appropriate for math instruction. And I ask, what is the intent and purpose, again, of multi-age STEAM over the current setup? If the goal is to narrow the band, thereby increasing your ability to meet all student needs, why did you bother implementing menus? Doesn't the menu setup provide for targeted instruction, which would then not cause there to be a need for multi-age STEAM? And finally, I would just like to ask, doesn't the think tank initiative clearly promise that outcomes of changes made would be continuously evaluated and planned to be modified based on those results? And if not, I wonder why we bothered to spend taxpayer dollars to even have the survey that was completed. And if so, perhaps the focus should be more on what you're currently doing and what you currently have done that has supposedly improved math scores before implementing yet another initiative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
So just a couple of pieces on the portables. We had one of the portables removed last spring, Bob. Is that the portable you're speaking about?
Before they get relocated to the back of the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are those going to stay after phase one? Because I think in the last facilities meeting there was a comment made after phase one only Hadley and Churchill.
Would have the portables.
A couple of people heard the same thing. I was like, is that right? Is it going to have the four in the back?
No, the portables would be removed. The portables would be removed, yeah.
At Lincoln?
At Lincoln.
Because the original
plan was. Mm-hmm. And then on the Mrs. Rath, what I reported out was on the specific planning dates that we pulled the teachers out. It wasn't overall PD, it was literally the planning dates that teachers came here and planned with me. That's what I reported out on. So your numbers could have included more professional development with it. What I was speaking directly to were the planning dates that I, that Karen and I were working with our teachers.
Oh, okay.
So yours may have been more comprehensive with different professional development. Some of those professional development teachers could select and use professional development opportunities for those. But what I reported out on were the days. We literally went through Karen's calendar and looked at each and every one of those dates that teachers were pulled out for. But there could have been other professional development within that. So just
would it be under like district PD, the way it's categorized?
All I'm saying is I reported out on planning, that overall planning that that we initiated last year.
And I think it's fair to say that we're still looking at some of that data, right, in terms of professional development, how it impacts our teachers.
We're always looking at it, right. Absolutely.
Okay, anything else?
Can I just ask, do you think that's a lot? Are you trying to make it last this year, or are you?
Yeah, we're trying to use our institute days, like our last institute day. We had planning across the board. I would rather have it less, but I still believe, like I said a couple of weeks ago, that the planning behind this, working with the Common Core, bringing our teachers together, is incredibly important. So I do continue to value it, but I do want to continue to look at other alternatives, as we did during the last Institute Day.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Presentation, reports, and initiative. Ms. Laurie Taylor, the PTA Executive Council report, please.
Hello. All right, so we had our council meeting today, and we have a lot going on. I'll just quickly go through what we did at each school. So Lincoln did language lunch. They completed their fundraiser. We have 23 reflection participants, which is a big number, actually, from a district standpoint, regionally as well. And those numbers are going down in other school districts, but Lincoln is doing very well with that. And then they're also planning now to invite the Jessica Tumblers in the spring to come to the school for one of their, one of their days. I can't remember what it's called, the TV luncheon or that they have. Franklin had their science night, and it was done by Smarty Pants. We had they had a pumpkin fest, which is very well attended. And then their PTA is planning on bringing the PBL coach there to show the parents what a PBL is. So they get a chance to experience it, and to experience it from the kids' standpoint, they get a chance to do it. I thought that was good. I think Forest Glen is also planning on having a PBL coach to come and to show the parents what the PBL is. Forest Glen also, we have a lot of fundraisers. So, fundraisers. They did Kid Stuff Coupons, which is a new fundraiser that was introduced in the district, and they did extremely well with that. They will have their book fair, which is an 80s theme. They are looking for anybody who can break dance, so please, if you can break dance, do that. so then they also had their hobby night with 65 participants, students coming to address hobby night, to participate in the hobby night. Churchill, they had their fall festival. And they completed their fundraiser, and they're adding an additional fundraiser of Amazon Smile Program, which is an ongoing fundraiser that when people go through Amazon and purchase, they get a portion, like a 0.5%. And Hadley also completed their fundraiser and had Activity Night, which is something that is coming back. Last year started, this year it's going well. They had over 300 students to attend. Of course, they're all the PTAs are always looking for more members. I know that everybody in this room is a member of a PTA in the district. And Gilda Ross attended, and Nova Bloomberg Web Series with us. I'm sure everybody's familiar with Bloomberg Web Series, but wanted to make sure that people knew that Bloomberg Web Series, even though it has the name Bloomberg, it is applicable to elementary kids, especially our middle school, or anyone who has a middle schooler, should probably go, because some of those things are going to affect if they haven't already. So, Reflections is underway, and then we have a special education group that's compiling a resource list for families, and they're working on publishing that, or thinking about it, right? So that, they can also bring more people in knowing what our special education support group does. That is pretty much it.
Thank you very much. We will see you next month.
Next month.
Okay, we move on to discussion items, public participation protocol. Is this just me starting?
This is you.
Okay, thank you. We had this discussion a little bit last time, but Drew and Dean, you guys weren't here, so it's more for your benefit. I'll just repeat a little bit of what I said, and then... we can take it on from there. So this really, the discussion here is not about putting times on the agenda. I think we all, there was a strong consensus, and that's a good thing to do. That was a good lesson learned from the training manual that Dean, you referenced last time. I think the idea of engaging the community through listening sessions, and then Erica is going to talk about something else tonight. Again, I think seems like we're supportive of that, and that makes sense. So this is really about the whole concept of having one public participation, and maybe it should be more labeled public comment, but one public participation up front. So, you provided some guidance based on the training that we had, and what I did is I went and I called what I thought was the author of the book, and it actually turns out it's not, so I apologize to everybody. He's not the author. He's the executive director of the IASB. I guess there are multiple authors that are part of the training. And what I was going after was really the intent of why public participation from their perspective is up front. And, in that discussion, what I got in terms of intent is that it's really just a requirement, a state statute, that there is a public participation, and they put it up front, even though on some of their agendas it's not up front, and some of their agendas it's later in the meeting. They put it up front because they feel that people shouldn't have to wait throughout an entire meeting to be able to comment, and they should be able to come and comment. It's a standard time. And that made perfect sense. But like anything else with the IASB, and this is not a bad thing, you know, what's important to them is that the board decides based on what the community, you know, think what you think is best for the community and what the community is looking for. You know, I felt sometimes when you read the book and, you know, it was like it's something that is the way a best practice should be run. But clearly, to me, at least from the discussion I had with the executive director, it was more of an intent of we got to have one by statute. Doesn't mean you can't have two. There's no such thing, at least from his words, of, you know, saying that it's a best practice to only have one. You can have two and fit what's best for your community. Trying to shorten what my comments were last time.
If you're doing this for our behalf, I actually listened to the meeting, so I listened to the comments.
Okay.
Unless you're doing it for the community's behalf.
Well, I'm just making sure that
okay.
You know, I get it. Get out what we said. But I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to it. I think that what we're discussing here is, I guess, two options. Option one was to have the public participation up front and then to have it after the discussion items. Not at the end, but after the discussion items. The idea there was that at least, so the first one would be non-agenda and then the one would be after discussion. This way at least, you know, we could get comments. Again, not a discussion, not engagement, but just comments from the community on a presentation that we give. If not, option two, for me, was that we at least do it after the discussion and not at the front of the meeting, so that we can at least get people's comments and they don't have to come to two meetings. So that's what we're really discussing here. Obviously, we've all had some thinking around that, and I went back to the pilot. I think we agreed in our meeting when we would have the public participation up front, after discussion, and at the end, it was a pilot. We would see how it went. So I went back to the timeline in the pilot, and, you know, the key takeaways for me is that, you know, as a board, we had 30 days to review the initial proposal. We piloted one meeting, essentially, before we brought it up for a discussion again in the second meeting. In the second meeting, so our second pilot, we basically decided to move it to just one up front. So reality is we probably had three meetings where this was piloted, but it was one before we went back to, let's reopen the discussion. Which, I don't know, that may be viewed as a pilot by some, may not be by others. I reviewed the public participation in the two pilots. In the first two pilots, and I felt that, on average, the first public participation was about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. A couple people went over that, and that's on me for not managing that better, and I will continue to do so. And the first pilot, there was no discussion item, so we didn't really pilot that. And the second public participation, they were all under a minute, or one was a minute 38. They were all under a minute. Whole public participation took less than 3 minutes at the end. Our second pilot, we did much better in terms of our first public participation. They were all, we had three, two were under 30 seconds, and the other ones were 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Discussion items, we had three of those. Two, there were no comments. One, there was. It was a minute and 56. And then the second public participation, everybody was under 3 minutes. Well, one person was 3:20. So, you know, I just went back to the data. So I took the data. I looked at the time to see what it does to our meetings. I know part of this is efficiency. That's not all of it. Part of it is engagement and moving through the meeting. So I felt the data supported that. It didn't really, increase too much time from us. And again, I only did the first two that we piloted. I did not get to the third one. I ran out of time. I know there was an email brought up last week around, you know, providing feedback on email. Again, I value that, and I think I said at that point that there is some people like email, some people like other forms of communication, and just because the email was brought up. That person also did write back to us and say that they would have liked to have the chance to have public participation after the meeting. I felt we have gotten some emails. Again, I'm just going back to the data to say that public participation at the end is helpful. We had one specifically, I think, around full day kindergarten. So, you know, I'm just going to ask you guys to reconsider that we, you know, from my perspective, at a minimum, move it to after discussion items so that we can, you know, we can get people's comments and make it a little easier for them in terms of when they attend the meeting. And it's nice not to have it at the end because, you know, they don't have to wade through some of the things that we do around, you know, consent agenda and all that. That, to me, would be the minimum request, but the real request would be do it up front so we can honor sort of the IASB tradition of come to the meeting at 7:30, give your participation around non-agenda items, and then add in what I consider more of the community input around after discussion items. So it has nothing to do with just with public engagement. We're approaching that, and we'll continue to discuss that. But I do think that we should reconsider that. We've had, I guess this is our third pilot of public participation up front, and I would say, if you know, I haven't looked at the data, but some of the data coming in suggests that there are some people in the community that would like to go back to an alternative method. So that's my comment.
Other board members?
I don't have anything
okay.
to add.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate what you're saying, John. I know you put a lot of time into it. And I appreciate that, too. I know you're going to do the best thing. I just want to thank you for that.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I'm going to save my comments for the second part because this rolls into some of my thought on this. But I appreciate your time, and I agree with you, John. It's not, for me, it's not an issue of timing. You're right, or those are being addressed in other ways.
All right. Anybody else with comments? All right. So, Paul, you have your direction then?
Yep.
We will continue with the one public participation at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay.
And I will take a breather from putting this back on the agenda then.
Okay.
Until I can come up with another creative, wonderful idea.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
The next one is a board community monthly engagement session that Erica brought forward. One of the things that I did for the board, Erica, Ken, did for the board was put this together because there really is quite about a large amount of public engagement going on from PTA meetings that board members attend to community listening sessions, different town hall meetings that we're bringing forward, December 3rd, March 4th, March and May 27th. Just wanted to kind of give that holistic view because sometimes when we say we're not engaging the community, we really are, and I think you're doing an incredible job of engaging the community in very different ways, but I felt like it was really important to put this down. So you could see it from that perspective. Erica, I know you wanted to speak about that.
Well,
and I turned to coffee and conversation. I don't know, whatever.
That's fine. Yeah, no, I sent a little draft to you and to Erica. So this, you know, is on the heels of what we just talked about with John. And it's, you know, I appreciate what John said in terms of clarifying public comment versus public engagement because I think that, you know, as we've talked about, there is a difference. Even tonight when we had public participation, there were questions that were coming from the audience. And to me, that's exactly why I put my thought around how do we engage on topic, because these are topics specifically interested by folks who are coming, sometimes one, sometimes two. But I think we have an obligation as a board to open up broader conversations. And what spurred this for me on some level as well is the fact that when we had our focus groups around technology and, you know, board members were able to attend those, there was some kind of after effect of those where folks would come up and say, this was great, we'd like to have more time, more conversation. And I just think it's a kind of a perfect storm of opportunity for us to shed some of, you know, some of what we were doing and move into some better, in my opinion, engagement. So, I mean, what Paul has on this this engagement plan under the fourth bullet, host BLE community coffee conversation. I do want to clarify for the record so that when Mrs. Rath and Mrs. Clark listen to the board meeting, they're going to hear this. There are many times, oftentimes, when all board members do attend a town hall meeting. The expectation is that we do not sit with more than one board member to avoid the perception and or, what's the word I'm looking for, possibility of engaging in conversation more than one board member with one board member. It happened in 2007 and 8 when John and I were attending, and he was the rep for that, of our vision and our, vision at the boathouse, but then also our facility study. So board members came in and out of those meetings all the time, and we just were very aware of making sure we separated, we sat apart from one another, we didn't engage with one another, we didn't talk to one another, so that we could be there and hear. And that would, my assumption would be, for any of us that can make December 3rd, March 4th, or May 27th, that would be the protocol, and we would do the same thing.
And that was just to piggyback on that, spoke with Maureen, and that has happened in the past where there have been multiple board members at a function like that, but separated by distance, personal assistant next to you.
Yeah.
So that can occur.
Exactly.
So, but I did say that to the PTA council today. But I can clarify that for them because
I was going to say we do. I mean, if we know we're all coming and we feel we need to, then we make it a public. You know, we post the agenda so that
that's the other way.
I mean, that finance committee does it that
literally
way,
and have a board meeting.
Right. We've done it for other initiatives too. I mean, we did there was the boundary committee, the multiple facility studies, the vision. We had
the community outreach engagement sessions on Think Tank, and community members from Wheaton College were there, and other community members. You know, we were all there, or any of us that could be there. Yep. So it was certainly an open forum.
Yeah, we even used to have a show up 15 minutes early to the board meeting, and you know, talk to a board member. So and all those can just be posted appropriately.
So we can fix that.
Yeah, so that does not preclude board members from attending as, you know, as individuals of the board to that meeting. It's just us being conscious of, you know,
where
separation
we're at.
And conversation and all that stuff. So sorry, I wanted to clarify that. So again tonight, I think this was a good example of a really important topic, and wanting to engage around it. That being the Team 21 21st Century Learning Initiatives and the ongoing, you know, review of that, and the fact that in fact the survey data did inform what we're doing this year was just to put that on pause, right, and be assessing that, reviewing it. So in fact that's being addressed in that way at least, if not in other ways as well. So my idea was, in addition to December 3rd, March 4th, and May 27th, where these are hosted by Paul, that board members have a particular kind of lens and point of view and an opportunity to talk to community members, both members who come all the time to board meetings and have particular topics they want to talk about, but also folks who can't make a board meeting or don't have an interest in coming to a board meeting, but have an interesting conversation. So what I sent to Paul and to Erica was kind of my idea, which was to identify some topics ahead of time, and then we would host maybe on the off months of December, you know, March and May, this kind of coffee. And we've talked a lot about coffee with the cops and, you know, what they do in the Village of Glen Ellyn, and Eaton does the same thing or a similar thing. But it would be around identifying topics of interest. So these topics of interest that I'm going to identify are ones that I heard at some of the technology sessions, but also that have come across and emailed to me too. One would be a big one, school achievement / academic progress in our long-range plan. So bringing people up to speed on that and actually sharing the long-range plan, which we don't do you know, all the time. It's when we update it.
I heard the long-range plan. I didn't hear the first one, though. Was that academic?
So, yeah, school achievement / academic progress.
All right, thank you.
Creating innovative academic environments, programs, and facilities. And so this would probably pull in also our all-day kindergarten and how that's driving facilities, which it is, which is why we're, you know, coming back on the 10th. Student diversity in District 41. We've had a lot of conversation around that from the perspective of percentages and numbers and how they impact the district, impact finances, but also impact the culture and the opportunities in the district for our kids. Dual language being one of those, certainly at Churchill, and then our foreign language across the district. Board of Education roles and responsibilities. That's a big one. I got an email probably a month ago just with somebody interested in potentially running for the board, wanting to have some more detail around that, and had a conversation over the phone with them. But that, I think, important to reinforce. You know, we talk a lot about this as a board, what's board work, what's administrative work, what's the delineation. I think that would be interesting. And then this last one, the school budget process, timelines, PTEL, state aid, you know, what's going on. This also all about Senate Bill 16 and, you know, some of what's going on with that. So I just think we have a great opportunity as board members to reach out and have the conversation. We have board members, John, the longest serving, myself, and then others with 4-plus years now, that have a lot of history, and I think that history is great in terms of the conversation. And this is a comment forum. I think the conversation forum could be really much more relevant. And again, what I was suggesting is that two of us co-host doesn't preclude other board members from coming, same type of thing, that more of us could attend.
Did you have anybody from the administration there?
Yeah, you may, my sense would be I don't want to direct staff, so I would leave that to Paul to think about that. But if there were a topic
specific,
with specific.
I think I'd probably
because
eat the donuts.
We get into some of these. What we want to do is we want to be careful. We stay at the policy level.
Yeah.
We get into
right.
lower level, and if we do,
right.
then we can maybe give improper information. So I think we should probably
have
something.
Well, and I assume you would have to. I mean, if we're talking about the long range plan, you would have to present it or. Prepare it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we have copies of where we are now, how it's been updated, you know, how 21st century learning practice has informed it. I mean, we're updating that in an ongoing way,
mm-hmm.
not we, the administration is. But, and then just leave some rooms for other, you know, other topics, other ideas. So.
And this is once a month on the off?
Yeah,
Monday?
So I was thinking like a Saturday morning. The other thing.
Oh, you
want to
do this on a Saturday?
Maybe a Saturday morning, that would be. You know, more mm-hmm. accessible. I mean, not a weekday, in other words, where, you know, our board meetings already sit, some of our special meetings already sit. But, you know, from 8 to 9:15, 8 to 9:30, an hour and a half. And the other thing that this might open up again is because our board meetings have not been rotating to schools, and we talked about that, and that we wanted to leave that up to building leaders to decide what might be appropriate and invite mm-hmm. us, invite the board and have the meetings there, and that's fine. But I do think, because we're talking about facilities, there's a collateral benefit to this, and that is getting community members into buildings. So, again, back to the technology conversations. You know, I had parents there of only elementaries, kindergarten, first grade, kindergarten, third grade, saying, this is the middle school, being in the LLC, seeing the courtyard, walking through the building, having it become you know, a part of their understanding of the district and not just their own elementary. I think there's great value in that. And you know, that we could host these in the library at each of the buildings with the, you know, permission of the
mm-hmm.
And participation of the administration. So, again, I just see that as another benefit to this and test them out and see how they go and, you know, push out there on our Twitter feed and D41 page. And
Eric, I was going to reach onto that, but I didn't want to get into the solution part of it because I know there's a lot of variables and we want to
sure.
you know, keep on topic here, but if I can make a recommendation to Erica's, if co-leading or however that's going to be, but these monthly conversations, even coffee or maybe they're just kind of conversations, we reach out to the Einstein Bagels and say, hey, can we have a corner? Because this may go out to people, but it's not going to go out to all the people. People are going to get coffee on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
or. You know, maybe they're one of the restaurants downtown. You know, the central businesses are, you know, just, hey, can we borrow a corner? You know, we'll put in whatever money we need to, you know, $50, $100 for refreshments as an organization. So when people walk in, it's like, oh, D41. Oh, yeah, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Watch your
head. I haven't been to a coffee with the cops for probably a year. Are those being located in different places now?
traditionally they're in the
Civic Center.
That's where the last time I went.
I'm just trying to get foot traffic.
I think that's a really valid idea.
And it is an interesting idea because part of what we would get then is the community members that don't have people in schools.
Right.
Either they don't have them in there yet, or you know they're past that age and they won't have kids in school. And that's part of the community.
Parlaying, and you say, it's going to get published. We're going to be here. If you can host it for us, you'll probably see a 2% boost, maybe in the 8 to 10 a.m. You know, so we sell it. But I know we only have 10 minutes for this topic, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly talk to Erica about that.
So is this...
Do people... What do you think? What do you think, Jim?
Well, is this... You know, I know one time we talked about coffee with the cops and doing that, and I felt the board was leaning towards we wouldn't want to do that, but we would, you know, we could do something like what you're talking about in an Einstein's, but it was around a topic, and there'd be a presentation, right, or some material that we would pass out and discuss, and then... You know, it's not just a free-flowing conversation. I'm not saying I wouldn't do that. I'm just saying I think that's the intent here.
Yes, so that, you know, as people came out, and I think I used this example, I have a neighbor who rarely, you know, asked me about District 41 stuff, but was hot on the whole SB 16 because of property taxes and values and all this other stuff. So, you know, I think that we have a responsibility to think more globally in terms of some of the conversations we have, and when we have access to that information, and our PTA has done a great job of putting information out there for community members, which is why it became, I think, so ubiquitous. I mean, everybody was talking about it. We don't want that to go away. You know, now that, you know, they've said, well, we're not going to do with this during lame duck and blah, 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 everybody's like, oh, okay, not a problem. It's still an issue. And so those, you know, I want to make sure that we capture some of that energy so that we can engage people and be asking our community members, you know, you have responsibility as well. Call your state representatives, call your state senators, call the legislators.
Do you need help with this, Eric?
Yeah. You know, if we want to move forward
with
it.
I'll raise my hand so the three of us can work together.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
I have a quick comment.
Yeah.
I hope it'll be quick. one of the principles to guide boards from IASB is community engagement. And we know that IASB doesn't see the comments at a board meeting as community engagement.
Right.
And something like this is much more face-to-face, person-to-person, and really the community is much stronger in terms of engagement. The one thing you might look at is not spreading ourselves so thin that people just can't keep track of all the opportunity, perhaps combining community listening session with coffee and conversations and schedule those throughout the year to make those coffee times listening times. It's just a lot.
So maybe, like, to John's point, having some of those be content-driven, like I listed as some examples, and other times be taking questions if we need to resource back to them.
Yeah, it might be one of those big topics, you know, community listening sessions, little topic.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't think we would handcuff somebody just because it wasn't the big topic.
And I think I also see it as an opportunity, even if we had a laptop there, to get people signed up to get the e-news, get on our Facebook page, you know, that type of thing. Just this ongoing engagement of, you know, plugging in, you know, trying to get people to plug in.
And I think we just got to be cautious of making sure that we don't oversaturate.
That we're really very purposeful.
We follow that data. Our people come because we had some great turnout at our listening sessions. I mean, some of the best turnout we've had on any public engagement that we've sponsored. So we really want to make sure that they're well attended and they have a real purpose behind them. So we're not just doing those pieces. But what I heard was
when I host one of these, that if I have 10 community members come,
that's a
good thing.
Because it's a deeper conversation, and I'm happy to be there.
Eric, I'm pleased with what you do. I think you're right on track. I think that's you're on the track that we need to be on. So excellent job.
We'll try it.
So Paul, do you need anything from us? Or
what I'm hearing is some consensus to move forward with coffee and conversations in the community.
Talk, and then as we have conversation, we'll email back and copy John and you.
Perfect.
And before we get off this topic, I'd like to make just a comment about this, and that's that. certainly when you came on board, we talked about community engagement, and the steps you've taken and Erica's steps you've taken have been remarkable with the differences that we're starting to see in the mailings that go out, the emails, the things like the listening tours. This is exactly what we were talking about, and I appreciate the fact that you guys have been so responsive and did a great job.
Thank you. Try to listen and try to respond to what the board's asking for. So thank you.
And Paul, I just have one other question. And please. You're good with staff on Saturday mornings.
It would be more me, but if it was a very topic specific, I would I would bribe him with a donut or two to get him out there. But I know I've committed.
I'm plugging for the donut. That'll be on my
head. And fruit.
Yeah, and fruit. And fruit. Yes, for our healthy. For wellness. For a while.
For a while.
Okay, so next steps here will be Erica and Patrick getting together with Paul, coming up with an idea. And we target to do November, December?
Did you have a November? Did you have a date?
Yeah, I think it was the third Saturday. I'll look it up. I mean, you and I will talk and see.
Okay.
Well, that's the 21st, so it's the second.
Okay.
And maybe one of the things we can do with this, too, is just decide how we're going to, measure the success. Maybe it's just the number of people that show up, just so that we keep track. And
sure.
I think that's important.
And it is my brain need to brainstorm with Erica on that, is how do you capture so many cards that they fill out and bring back, just, again, trying to get people plugged in electronically and that type of thing.
You know, if we get 50 people to sign up for e-news that aren't on it, that could be a measure, right?
Something. Exactly. Thank you, Joe.
That's
exactly.
All right. That's good.
Okay, action items. Are there any items board members would like pulled from the agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may have a motion to approve the reports and recommendations contained in the consent agenda, which includes human resources personnel report, employment recommendations and resignations, finance facilities and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, vandalism report, disposal of surplus property, 2014 and 2015 FOIA report, school district payment order, October 3rd, 2014 through October 21st, 2014. Other matters, approval of board meeting minutes, October 14th, 2014 regular meeting, October 14th, 2014 regular meeting closed session, October 23rd, 2014 special meeting, and October 23rd, 2014 special meeting closed session.
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Bochansky?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr.
Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Okay, superintendent's recommendations at its October 14th regular meeting. The board discussed the following matters: the final bid packet recommendation for Forest Glen and Churchill building additions. The administration is recommending board approval of Frederick Quinn Corporation's bid recommendation of the four remaining bid packets in the amount of $240,219 for the Forest Glen and Churchill School additions. May I have a motion to approve the administration recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
May I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
No, there weren't any changes in the data. I mean, there's not any shift in it, right, Bob? And,
I think one of the things that discussed with finance was the discussion about where we currently stood on what we call contingency and savings, overall, just under $840,000 in the four buildings. These will be the last four contracts that will be left for the buildings. So that just kind of gives a to where we are as of today. The original contingency was $825,000. So we basically have about $15,000 of savings after these contracts are left.
So 15,000 is savings from where you forecast.
Right. Okay. We did not dip into the contingency.
Thank you. That's what I need.
Anybody else? Okay, as you guys know, I will be voting no on this, not because I don't want to put portables at Churchill or Forest Glen, but because I've didn't think that the plan that we put forward was the right plan based on my opinion. I would have liked to seen us make a decision on full-day kindergarten first and with the elimination of all portables except at Churchill, I would like us to get rid of them all and approach our construction that way. So that's why I'll be voting no. But it's not because I don't want to get rid of portables at Churchill. I'd like to get rid of them all. So.
Nor do you have any concern with any of the bids.
No, the bids are the bids are fine. Yeah,
the bids. You have concern with the bids, and you don't have concern with the transfer of funds.
Well, we're not voting on that.
Oh, okay.
Just the final bid packet.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do them separately.
Okay. Roll call.
Mrs. Nelson.
Yes.
Mr. Alger.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mr. Wachansky.
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson.
Yes.
Mr. Escalante.
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood.
No. Okay, second discussion item, transfer of funds from the education fund to the debt service fund. The administration is recommending board approval of the resolution for the transfer of funds from the education fund to the debt service fund in an amount not to exceed $202,553.40 in accordance with the Illinois statute that requires education agencies to account for its operating leases in a debt service fund. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
As presented.
Sorry.
Mr. Ellis, motion. Second.
Second.
Mrs. Nelson. Any discussion?
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Anybody want to explain it for those that might be listening?
These are leases that we intend to hold title to, that we're going to make the lease payments, and we'll have ownership after the lease payments have been completed. Mm-hmm. So that's typically how we fund these types of purchases.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Wachansky?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes. Okay, supplemental pay recommendations. This is still a list. Okay. Supplemental pay recommendations. English Language Learners Club at Hadley, adding ELL Club as a Group 2, which constitutes 100-plus hours activity for the 2014-15 school year. Hadley Band for 2014-15, adjusting the stipend for the Symphonic 8th Grade Band from Group 3 to Group 4 to reflect the reduced number of rehearsal hours for the 2014-15 school year only, and that two stipends be provided. The committee will then review the stipends in the spring after the first year of implementation of the new schedule. Hadley Orchestra 2014-2015 adjusting the Hadley schedule in order to move full orchestra rehearsals from before school to during the school day. Hadley Cheerleading, reducing the number of student contact hours for cheerleading to fit the definition of Group 4 activity. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation as presented?
Second.
Roll call. Or, sorry, discussion?
I just want to make a clarification because I serve on the Supplemental Pay Committee, and I think this is confusing sometimes, so I just want to clarify. When we talk about the different groups, they're aligned to either leadership, which is Group 1, which is CIT, Teams for Excellence, those type of faculty, staff participation. And then when you go from Group 2 up to Group 5, its actual contact hours descend. So it sounds like 1 to 5 goes higher, but it's actually the opposite. So when we talk about there being a change from a Group 3 to a Group 4, we're actually, that's where this, you know, we see savings, and I know you have this in front of you, but I just want to clarify it for the public. So Group 1 is leadership, 2, 100-plus student contact hours are involved in that. Group 3, 75 to 100 student contact hours. Group 4, 40 to 74. And then Group 5, 39 to 50.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
The only comment I have on this is Lori presented this to the Finance Committee, and she provided a sheet that I'm working on. I'm really looking at the student contact hours. That's where a lot of my discussion, I had more discussion today in the Finance Committee, of the importance of extracurricular activities for our students. So I'm glad that Lori and the team continue to look at this, add new things on an ongoing basis, take away things that aren't being, this is what's happening in this report, there's things, activities that students aren't coming out for, they're trying to replace them. And, you know, to me, the goal should be by the administration, by everyone here, by board members, to to get 100% participation, 100 kids, 100% of our kids to participate in extracurricular activities. So I'm glad we're keeping a finite number.
Is it correct to read this that we've actually reduced the overall expense in this area by adding things we've had and adjusting the ones we aren't using as much?
Right.
Yeah. That's
and,
right.
And the reason most of it is occurring, the cost savings, is due to how we did ban that happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's where the savings comes.
Yeah. So Lori and her co-chair, Wendy Piscini, who's a music teacher, I think, in school, you know, provide for the committee the overview and you know, again, always giving understanding around why we might be looking to sunset. You know, we give things a couple of years because you might have in an off year that participation come back for an activity, like mm-hmm. a mental club or something like that. So it's not just, okay, nobody's coming the second year, so let's get rid of it. We really give it some time. But as you can see, the difference is there's a $6,400 savings. Now, the great news is, to Joe's point, you know, and I'll do this through my board report, but we have a lot of new opportunities for, and that's where, you know, we have money then to be able to fund things that kids are interested in.
Right.
Demands.
Okay. Did we vote on it? Roll call?
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Ms. Wojcicki?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Eldridge?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Superintendent's report.
Paul. This will be brief. As Mrs. Clark alluded to, spoke with PTA today, November 10th. I'll be bringing forward more information on full-day kindergarten, the facilities overall. Really do believe that I've been following the board's recommendation, the recommendation from last year all the way through, that the board said, bring forward recommendations. Where are you at with full-day kindergarten? How does this work into the facilities? So on November 10th, we'll walk all the way through the facilities. You'll see current student projections. What does that look like? The feedback from the schools, where they believe there's some space that's maybe not the most appropriate learning spaces. We'll highlight those. I'll overlay full-day kindergarten on the facilities so you can see how that lays out within the completion of phase one, and then some other service programs. So the board sees where all of these pieces fit within this puzzle, because it is a large puzzle trying to get it all in, because it's not just full-day kindergarten. I've been on the record for a long period of time. Do I believe in full-day kindergarten? I absolutely do. But there are many different pieces to this puzzle that I will demonstrate to the board on November 10th. And at the December 3rd town hall meeting, based off whatever feedback the board gives me, we would bring that to a town hall meeting on that topic of facilities, full-day kindergarten / full-day kindergarten. From there, I would do the presentation, and then it would be an opportunity for the community to speak with us directly. That town hall concept really came off of the listening tour last spring, where we heard community members, Mr. Cooper was one of them, who said, this is nice, but I would also like a town hall type of atmosphere, so where we could have a little bit of give and take on some of these issues. So the town hall... we will use that December 3rd town hall meeting to continue having this phase two conversation based off of the November 10th meeting with the board and the direction that you've given me. I do feel like I'm following the board's direction, what the board has given me since last year, this past spring, and this fall, to continue moving down this path. I have not heard anything otherwise. We had a great conversation on full-day kindergarten, but that's what that conversation was a few weeks back, was a conversation on full-day kindergarten. So that's my piece.
Anything else?
Yeah, there was one other over at, she has a new last name, Sam Battaglios? Battaglia. All right. In her classroom, doing a problem-based learning opportunity for some of her students.
Which school is this
at? Over at Franklin, sorry. She has MIP?
An instructional program.
It was one of the best afternoons I've spent in a long, long time, seeing the energy around the birds. Their problem was trying to figure out what is the best nesting environment for these birds, and they had different types of birds, from sparrows to cardinals to, I think, blue jays, and there was one other. It was fantastic. They were so engaged, but they all had these incredible reports that they completed, and Sam said, you know, you can go read them to Dr. Gordon, or you can, you know, share it around the room, Mrs. Carlson, but Mr. Samples walked in, and no one wanted to look at any of us. They wanted to go right to the rock star principal, and they just gathered around him, and it was one of the sweetest moments to see how much the teacher, the principal, mean to our students. But their learning around this problem-based learning activity that they were doing was fantastic. The students were so engaged. We worked with Cosley Zoo. They had experts from Cosley Zoo on birds, and they worked with our students. Their depth of understanding around the birds was crazy good, and their energy level and their excitement was fantastic. I know they were getting ready to start building their nest to monitor the birds and to see if there were more birds coming to their outside. They had the nest outside of their classroom window. It was fantastic. Sam just absolutely rocked it. I'm so proud of her, and more proud of her students for really taking this on and working with it. And huge kudos to the Cosley Zoo, two of their experts working directly with our students to ensure they had all the understandings they needed to create these nests. So it was very, very, it was just a sweet afternoon. So
great, thank you.
Yep.
All right, board reports. Anybody?
Sure. October 17th, Beck. Seems like it was years ago. Paul and I were both at the DuPage District fall meeting. Is that the right name for that?
Fall dinner?
Yes. And I want to say two things about it. There were a lot of people there. I'm going to say three. Very high energy, so that was really nice. The first time I've been with that particular group of people, and there was an awful lot of patting on the back about all the things we're doing so well, which is great to hear. I took that, though, as really a challenge to continue attaining that kind of success. And the person that really drove me to think about challenges was our guest speaker, who was Maui Askadon, who is a graduate of one of the district schools. If you aren't familiar with him and his life story, you can find it on the internet with a Google search or send me a note and I'll tie you in. But to see what his education has done for him and then the strong drive that he has to give back to the community, it's just a great example. So it was a real privilege to be there.
It was.
And, anybody wants to visit more with me, I could talk for a long time about all the things I heard. I still have some notes.
It was a great day.
Okay. Anybody else?
Sure. On October 17th, also I went to the PBL report out at Hadley.
That's right.
And I believe John was there too, so we both got to sit through some of the sessions. I would echo what you said. I was, you know, it's one thing to be impressed when you talk about the birds. This happened to be an internet access PBL. And it's one thing that the kids seem to understand the challenges of the internet access. I got blown away in two different ways. One is the depth. They started talking about franchise fees. These are eighth graders. They understood budgets. They understood that if you're going to do something, you have to figure out where to pay for it and how you're going to pay for it. And when I asked them questions about it, they could go pretty deep. And I was very pleasantly surprised that it wasn't just, okay, we're going to get to be an expert on this topic. They were, like, deep down, they were talking about a more informed electorate, things like this that they brought up. The other thing that was a little bit stunning, and maybe I just am not spending enough time in our schools, but having had children who went to our schools, their presentation skills were really impressive. These These kids were poised. They knew what they were doing. They looked you in the eye. They shook your hand. They handed off from one to the other. It was things that, you know, I manage people to do this for a living, and I was thinking, wow, I know where I'm going to start hiring. It's going to be handling eighth graders. It was a fantastic day, a lot like what you had. So it was a great, great thing, and I'm going to sign up to do a lot more.
Nice. I have a really quick one. Just I was at the PTA council meeting today for about the first half of 60%. Dory gave a great detailed report from that. So the only thing I'd like to add to that, I don't want to rehash it, but is the PBL coaches, two of the schools reached out and said, hey, you know, the parents want to understand this a little more in detail. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. I think it would be important for the other two probably to do the same thing.
I think so.
At the K-5. I'm not sure Adley needs it. Well, they could probably get better feedback from their kids. I think that was really important to hear, and it's good to hear that the parents are wondering what's going on, especially when you hear experiences like you just described.
I know that's great feedback.
So. Perfect. Thank you. Anyone else?
Two quick things. One is, again, just following up on the PBL. And I just want to thank one of the other PBL panelists. There is Erica Roberts, yet another Erica.
Yeah.
And she's a teacher at a charter school in Chicago, the Young Women's Leadership Charter School. It's the only all-female charter school in, I think, in the state, but for sure in Chicago. And she had sent a note to Paul and copied me on it because she and I were talking, and she said, the research, presentation, collaboration, and communication skills the students had an opportunity to put into practice will serve them extremely well in high school, college, and the workforce, which is one of the overarching objectives of our problem-based, you know, learning approach. So to have an external person, you know, present that, I thought was great. The other is we had a supplemental pay committee today meeting at 4 o'clock, which I had to miss because I was working. But I have the minutes. And the thing I just want to mention to the board is in conversation about supplemental pay, we have 8 fall proposals, and at least 3 of them tied directly into 21st century connections. One, a robotics club that already has, I think, 40 students that want to have a third section. So just great high interest in this stuff that has texture to it as well. So good stuff.
Terrific. Thank you. Anyone else?
So finance. Let me go through finance real quick. A couple important things here. We got the FQC budget summary. Joe kind of alluded it a little bit. With the run rate that we're going, we're about $1 million under budget as things are moving forward with contingencies and savings. So, you know, knock on wood, hope things keep going that way on time, on budget, actually under budget. So, it's good to hear Jack come with numbers like that. Some administrative things we're doing. We're going to start moving some of the funds into working capital projects to start paying some of our vendors. So this is the reserves that we had, and we're moving it over and paying it. We had a quick consultant performance review over several contractors and civil engineers. It was a conversation, I think, that we fleshed out a little bit in finance committee, where we asked Bob to do that same type of review for our auditor as well as legal consulting. Just so it's not a policy, but maybe a good practice, something we should be doing on a day-to-day basis, but on an annual basis, we should make sure the board's familiar with the vendors of such large capital projects and vested interest in the board. The bigger thing that I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of, or two of them, is the finance conversations are starting. Bob could speak to this a little bit more, but just to keep it at a high level, because I know we've only had 10 minutes for this topic conversations. So EAB is looking like it's going to be flat for 2015. New construction is going to be about $12 million. In 2014, it was $9.9 million, so we got a little increase. The only known to the levy variable is CPI, which is 1.5. All the other ones are targets. So the numbers are starting to come in. We're going to, of course, talk heavily about this in finance, that how it's going to affect our stakeholders. Let's see. I'll just read it. paragraph here. The estimated operating levy extension for 2014 represents $1.075 million, or a 2.6% increase in the operating level. The total operating levy request represents an increase of $1.4 million, or about 3.52. So those conversations are starting. The levy conversations are starting. One thing that we asked Bob and Paul to do is Bob provided us a five-year budget plan in the spring, and we said, okay, there's a lot of variables are going on, right? So you got the levy on one schedule, you have the budgets on the other schedule, you have SB 16 that could potentially happen and impact, you have the facilities conversations, and the last topic we talked about are the student user fees that are get renewed every year. So we said, and Bob and Paul said it's already in flight, but give us that five-year plan, and you know, pictorially for me, it's a Gantt chart of, okay, 15, 16, 17, 18, levies are going to happen here, budget conversations are going to happen here, what are the max and mins associated with some of the consequences, pension, cost sharing as well. So from the finance committee, we're out there in a strategy, in our long-range plan, saying, okay, if we're talking about levies and budgets now, we got to make sure that we understand possibilities of 16 and 17. So Paul and Bob are going to present that data back to us. So it'd be interesting. It's interesting stuff for me, maybe not for everybody else, but I think it's valuable for us as a board and the community to understand that we're not looking year over year right up end of our nose, but we're looking 5 to 7 years of, okay, in phase two, you know, we have all these variables. How are we going to tie these all together? And the last one is the student user fees. We were going to have a conversation on that, but we decided to hold off a little bit till spring because of these budget conversations. We don't want to tie ourselves to first activity fee, second activity fee like we have over the last 8 years, and they have 9 years and they haven't changed. But to make sure, just to keep it as a topical conversation, that student fees, user fees are going to be part of the budget process going forward in the spring. So.
Good. And we have in board policy and finance section, we have that calendar of our budget timeline. So I think it's important for us to go back and pull that up and take a look at it because it helps us, you know, I know this is when I start to try and get to finance committee meeting more often so that I'm in on some of the deeper dive conversation when we get to the full board. I'm not asking questions that are already embedded, but, you know, you've done that homework already. So so get into policy and pull up that timeline because it's not changed at all, right? But it's the same. Yeah.
It's just more variables, more subtraction variables.
Yeah, more moving parts this year. Yeah. No question. Thank you.
If you want to ask me to defer this to finance, it's okay, but I'm curious, is this 3.52% significant enough to offset a loss if we lose on SB 16?
Well, those are the conversations we're going to have, right?
It's too early.
Too early. But we'll have that. We'll be bringing that to the finance committee.
Okay. Yeah, good question.
And I forget which ones it is, Patrick, but because I always get the names wrong. But they're
Patrick.
No, your name. I got. On the. You know, we used to model different variables like that with, I think it was PMA, they had a tool.
Right? Yeah, and we talked about that, and right. Bob said that's the big idea of us.
So we used to model what happens if we lose $1 million worth of revenue, what happens if we lose $2 million worth of revenue. Yeah. And they've got the tool to be able to show what that means, and the nice thing about their tool is it has our salaries, so they have assumptions around retirements, and, you know, they have actual data. So when we did it, we have them come into the finance committee meeting, and we give them some scenarios. Bob, I don't know if you were around at that time or not, but they would run some scenarios for us to understand what the impact was.
That'd be awesome.
So they can do that.
The
only thing is you've got to give them the scenarios ahead of time so that they can put them into their database. Otherwise, you'll be sitting there while they do it, you know, and it'll take more than the hour and a half that you have allocated to your meeting.
I proposed 2.5 hours, but got
But you got silence?
Yeah.
No.
If they need a special committee in the whole finance meeting.
Paul jumped in there.
At one point, we thought we might lose our state aid. right? So we modeled that at one point.
Yeah.
One point we discussed, you know, just walking away from state aid so we wouldn't be under the mandates. I mean, you can model all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly what we want to do in a 5-year period.
Exactly. Okay, great. Any other board reports? Okay, upcoming meetings, November 10th, 2014, regular board meeting at 7:30 p.m. November 24th, 2014, regular board meeting at 7:30 p.m. Other matters, any other matters to be considered by the board at this time?
I just want to put two things on the table. One is I want to thank Paul and the principals at our schools for all of the facility information that he got to us. I found this really helpful. Again, just this deep dive on the point of view of the principals and the staff and faculty that are working in the building, boots on the ground, where they see deficiencies, constraints, where they could let it go in terms of being okay and in terms of classroom management and tools. So you know, I want to encourage us to keep this handy as we come back for the November 10th. And the other thing is I want to thank Bob Cicerella. He has been gracious enough to give some time to the legislative mandates work that I'm still working on and was able to pull for us. And I just want to share these numbers with you in terms of mandatory mandates. And one is a set of mandatory trainings for Illinois Public Schools. And he provided for us this data, and I won't show it, you know, have you see all of it, but you're welcome to look at it. But there are 23 different mandatory trainings for school systems, public schools. And it's not a simple, let's do a 20-minute on how to use the defibrillator. It's really a lot of legislative deep dive on things that are not unimportant, but again, add to cost. And again, this is something I want our community members to understand. And then just curricular mandates, what we found is that there were 26 over a period of like 8 years. And again, curricular mandates being changes to curriculum, additions to curriculum, shifts in requirements at the high school level in terms of how much math, science. Again, not bad things, but all make a difference in terms of where we're looking at costs and structure. So I want to thank Bob because he's helping us put together kind of a price tag on these different mandates so we can help to inform some of the way we like the legislation written. So I'll keep you posted.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Other matters? Terrific. We have a need to adjourn to closed session. May I have a motion to adjourn to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, and litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular district has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the district finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded. May I have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Second. Roll call.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Tanishki?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Galante?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yes.
The board will not be taking any action when it returns to open session. Everyone have a wonderful evening, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'd like to bring the open meeting back here at 10:26 p.m. May I have a motion to close the open meeting?
Second.
May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.